Hello, and welcome to What Time Is It? The Showtime Podcast. My name's Felipe.
And my name's Divya, and we're your hosts for this series.
We're part of Showtime, a committee under Campus Events and Entertainment at the University of Texas at Austin. We host events for the UT community for free. To learn more about Showtime, make sure to follow us on Instagram at UT Showtime and listen to our first podcast episode.
This episode, we want to talk about women in film, both the wonderful female directors in the industry as well as the representation of women in the media. We have guests Andrea and Dallas here with us this episode. Would y'all like to introduce yourselves?
Hi, everyone. I'm Andrea. I'm a third-year international business major.
Hi, I'm Dallas. I am a third-year psychology BA major, and I am currently the publicity officer for Showtime.
Okay, so to kick off the discussion, could y'all just go and say, what is your favorite female-directed film?
I guess I could start to answer the question. From like the last year, because I think it would be almost impossible to decide from like all the movies I've ever seen, but in the last year I think my favorite female directed film was Emma, the 2020 adaptation, and it was directed by Autumn de Wilde.
And going off like recently released films from this past year, I'd go with Cathy Yan, who directed Birds of Prey, Harley Quinn. I saw this movie being advertised and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna hate this movie. It's like Suicide Squad Part 2. And I was completely blown away and I absolutely fell in love with it. And I loved every single like directorial aspect and creativity that she really took with the film.
I think Andrea took my answer, but I'll say I think from recent years, probably The Farewell, directed by Lulu Wang. I thought it was really good. I'll probably get into it later why I thought it was really good, especially in their portrayal of having a female as the main character. But yeah, that's my answer for now.
Okay, so I think for me, I'm going to go with Lady Bird. The obvious choice, you know. I think it's a
lame.
Yeah, it's a very. I mean, I like Greta Gerwig. I think she's a good director, but like I'm not a huge fan of mine. I'm not like a huge Greta Gerwig fan. I just really really like Lady Bird specifically. So I rewatched it not that long ago, and I just think it's a very very solid movie, and. Yeah, I really liked it. So, sorry for going with the obvious answer, but that has to be it.
I think I'm in the minority of people who watched Lady Bird and were like, so-so about it.
You say that, but then I'm pretty sure all three of the females in this current episode aren't big fans of Lady Bird, because I'm not, and I know Andrea's not. So, is it really a minority? I don't think it is.
I'm honestly going to take it a step further and be like, I'm not that big of a Greta Gerwig fan, because like I think the other recent movie was Little Woman, and I think it was just like the hype surrounding it that I was like, man, I'm going to go into this movie loving it, and it didn't do a lot for me, and it wasn't like because of the story or anything. I already kind of knew what the story was coming into it. It was specifically like the style of the movie that I was like, this isn't doing anything for me.
I mean, I don't think for me, at least, there was any hype, because I watched Lady Bird in the movie theater, like, right as it came out, and I just remember not knowing very well what to expect, and I don't know, I really, really enjoyed it. I remember when it came out, it's 2017, so yeah, I was 16, 17 at the time, so I think it fit really well, like, at the point where I was in my life, and then watching it back a couple years later, and I was like, oh yeah, I can remember feeling like that as I watched the movie, which is not something I do very often, so I just thought it was a fun experience overall.
Okay, back to Little Women, I think it's the same as Lady Bird for me. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. I watched it, left, and was like, yes, solid movie. I don't think I would rewatch it, but I left feeling like, yeah, that was a movie. I think with Little Women specifically, I liked that they all had their own little story within the movie. Like, they all had their own dreams and, like, storyline and what they wanted, and so you kind of follow along with each of them. I think that was something I liked about the movie specifically. There was not really, like, one main character and all of her sisters as a side character. I felt like they had a good amount of time for all of them, which is something you don't always see in movies. Also, I like that they didn't talk about boys, like, the entire movie. So, you know, that's something we might get into later, but that was something I liked about Little Women.
I personally felt that the movie was very superficial. So it's like, yeah, there were aspects that I could enjoy because of the story and because I already knew I was going to enjoy, like, those aspects of the story, like, going into the sisters, and, you know, the idea of, like, this, family of women and, like, their strong relationships and that aspect, of course, it was really entertaining to watch, but there were just so many moments that I was just like, man, this feels so superficial, like, the speech that, Saoirse Ronan's character gave about, like, women and needing to make a choice, or, like, needing to, like, fulfill this role within society, and I just kind of sat there and I was like, oh my god, this feels so, like, spoon-fed to me, this speech about women. So that was, like, my kind of, like, personal disagreement with the film, that I was just like, I'm not enjoying this. I would enjoy it if it was done in a different way, you know?
I think, like, Lady Bird was a movie I watched after, like, it had been really popular. So I knew, like, there was the risk of it being overhyped. And I think that it's just not the style of story for me, which I don't necessarily know if that can be, like, pointed at Greta Gerwig as, like, her fault, or if it's just, like, a general thing and me not connecting to the character, because I think it was just a story that is not one I can tap into emotionally because it's not similar to my experience. And then with Little Women, the difficulty with Little Women is I did watch it before Lady Bird, which I think is part of my motivation to watch Lady Bird. And when I first watched it, I was like, it was really good to me. I really enjoyed it. Of course, it, like, 2 months later, I watched Emma, which I've already, like, claimed as, like, my favorite woman-directed film of the last year. So that kind of hurts it a little bit, I'm not gonna lie. But I'm pretty familiar with the story of Little Women, and I do think from a directorial point of view, there were certain things that were done that I really liked in displaying the story. But some of the credit of, like, oh, spending so much time on all five sisters and all of that, I don't know that that credit can go to the director, because I think that's just how the story is. So it's more of it being kind of a more accurate adaptation. So it's kind of like, I think, I think it's like Louisa May Alcott that's the author. So some of that should go to her instead. But my problem is me and Andrea rewatched it in the past couple of months. And after I had seen a movie like Emma, which admittedly Emma does not go into the matriarchal family dynamics that a movie like Little Women does, but I think it handles the complexity of women a little better. Because obviously with characters in Little Women like Jo and Amy, they are meant to be complex. The relationships they have with one another, they have with the male characters, are complex. But I think a movie like Emma just really did something that was unique, and it took something and did more with the story than had been done before. And I think that's really, like, what hurts Little Women in my mind, is I was like, it was a pretty decent and accurate adaptation, but I can't point and be like, oh my gosh, this had never been done before with this story. Whereas I can see that in Emma with the comedic styling and things like that. And the story of Emma is one where it's like, you have to be unafraid to make Emma a bitch. Pardon the language, and I hope no one takes offense to that terminology, because I do mean it in, like, the kindest, most empowering way to that character, because I love her. But the point is, she's not always a good person, and she's not always good to those that she's around and those people that she does genuinely love. And I think that complexity that has to be carried through from the director, they have to commit to that. So I just think Little Women, it's not a bad film, but it just doesn't do anything as groundbreaking as other films in that same genre, I guess.
Okay, so I'm not a big Little Women fan. I thought it was an okay movie. I do really love how Greta Gerwig solved the ending, though. I think it's, like, one of the best adaptations I've seen in a while. of like a book. I haven't read the book, but from what I know of the story in general, I think it's pretty, like, honestly genius the way she handled that in a film adaptation. And Dallas, unlike what you're saying, I don't think the credit can fully go to the author, because even though, like, yes, the movie, the story was there for her, but the fact that she could carry and spread the ground between the sisters in a two-hour movie instead of an I don't know how many pages book, I think it still deserves some credit, and like a big deal of credit for Greta Gerwig. And yeah, and before, and since you're already mad at me because I already disagree with you, let me just throw it out there that Emma is hella boring. And yeah, I'm not a huge Little Women fan, but I definitely say Little Women is far more entertaining than Emma. But then again, I'm not a guy for period pieces, so.
I mean, the thing, though, is, like, we can say, oh, we're going to give credit to Greta Gerwig for doing the job, which is to adapt the book accurately. Like, the book definitely is a very long book. I think it's, like, in the 500-page-plus range, and part of that is probably the writing style. But if the book spends that much time on each of those characters and then you make a movie that does not do that, you have failed. So just because she does it correctly and the way it should be done does not mean she, like, has done something completely groundbreaking. I mean, I think that, like, she definitely is a good director and she deserves credit. And I think, like you mentioned, the ending is very interesting. That is something where it's like, there was already some, like, meta-analyses about the story and talking about how that was the journey of the author of having to write a happy ending, even though that's not what she wanted for her characters. So it's very meta for the accuracy for historical sake, I guess. So it's not necessarily that Greta Gerwig just came up with that idea so much as she pulled something that is already well talked about in history into the film. But yeah, it's okay if you don't like Emma. I know that some people don't. I think it's really amazing, but I'm also a big Jane Austen fan already, so I'm already very well versed in that material, and so it helped me recognize the things in that adaptation that really surprised me and, like, enlightened the story more, I think. But yeah, this is not a Greta, like, hate club, I promise. I think that she's a good director. I just think that sometimes she's a little overhyped and a little too much credit is given when it's really, like, she's just doing her job. That's, like, a job requirement.
I mean, I know you read a lot, so you probably know that adapting a movie into a film is not an easy task. I don't know why this debate turned into solely, like, Greta Gerwig critiques versus support, but no, I don't even care that much for Little Women. I don't know why I'm defending it so much. I just think, like, it's a very hard job to adapt a book, especially a book that's old and that has been adapted, like, tons of times. But we can move on, and I'll maybe go on a tangent and say that I think why I feel so weird that we just spent a bunch of time, like, critiquing Greta Gerwig, which is a normal thing to do. But I think because we see so few directors, female directors in the mainstream nowadays, if you critique, like, one of them, you're already critiquing, like, a high percentage of the market. So, I don't know, it feels weird for me, you know, because they have such little space already in the mainstream. There are plenty of female, incredible female directors out there, and I think the world is starting to recognize that. But since they have such little space, I feel like when we critique them, I'm like, but, like, she's probably handling a lot of stress from the executives. And I don't know where I'm going with this, but it's just something that I think about sometimes.
Female directors in Hollywood, like, I don't think that's something they need from us, you know, is, like, to not critique them. Because I think, like, the main goal, you know, is for there to be enough women, enough men, enough people in, like, every group of doing whatever to where, like, we don't really have to be, like, oh, it's a female director and then, like, just a director, meaning, like, a male director, you know? Like, I think they, like, the ultimate goal is just to be a director and to be you know, equally treated with all the other directors. So they probably don't want us to, like, not critique them. I think more so they just want there to be space, you know, for them to go into that field and also to be equally supported as their male peers. But I kind of get what you're saying, but I think feeling like we can't critique female directors is like a slippery slope into the kind of people who think that female directors only get jobs because they're women and there's not enough women. I don't know. That's just how I feel about it, is that, you know, we should critique them, but not specifically because they're female directors, but just for their directing them itself.
I think I definitely agree with the whole idea of, like, you know, hopefully we get to a point where we just stop saying female directed and it's just like, oh, it's directed by. And honestly, I think critique is like a really important aspect of the film industry. And this is coming from like a director of like the student film festival. And it's just like, you just get such a wide array of films and they are all so unique and creative in their own way. But it's just like, there's never a perfect film. There's always like, you know, and that's kind of goes into the idea of like, you're never going to please everybody. But that's why it's just like, there's so much, not just like, I don't think of critique in the sense of like, oh, shaming. I think of critique in the like discussing, and it's just like, maybe one person likes a certain like aspect of a director and then other people don't. It's like, some people complain about Edgar Wright and they complain about his style that's too fast paced. And it's just like, some people really like that. And so I think it's just about like critiquing is, for me personally, is more of like discussing a film and kind of like the aspects that you specifically like about a director. And even though kind of like I do agree that there isn't as much conversation about female directed films, it's still really important to be able to have those discussions. And it's just like, because it's just like you're still going to be discussing like what makes a really great film great. And you're not just going to, you know, say a film was great just because it was female directed. Like, I personally really did not like Promising Young Woman, but I've just been hearing nonstop praise for Nomadland. Felipe, don't make that face. You know I don't like Promising Young Woman.
I completely forgot that you did, like, let's have that conversation.
This is, yeah, a Promising go Young ahead. Woman stan podcast, but that's
okay. I'm just coming in with the hot takes because... yeah, it's just, like, my personal opinion, I wasn't that big of a fan of it. The more I think about the film, the more, like, angry I get for some reason. Like, seeing it nominated for, like, Best Picture, I'm just like, okay, don't agree with you, but Oscars. But that's not the first time I haven't agreed with the Oscars. But, yeah, I was just going to wrap up.
I think it's very important to have conversations, because when you have... a vacuum of discussion, especially about marginalized groups, it makes it easier for in the future them to be completely eliminated from a given scene. And I think that it is like a very genuine thing where it's like this idea that marginalized groups, whether that be like females in male dominated fields, whether it be people of color in white dominated fields, it's this idea of like mediocrity is not accepted if you're a marginalized creator. And I just think that's so terrible. Like, everyone does things that are mediocre. You know, that's part of the journey of getting better, is trying things out, maybe missing the mark, getting critique, getting construction on that, and making something better in the future. That's part of being a creative, and that's part of the craft. So I think to say like, oh, we can't critique or we can't have these critical discussions about female directors because we need to always uphold them because it's so amazing that they're in this field. And it is amazing that they're in this field. And I'm so joyful every time I see a female director getting the recognition that they deserve. But it doesn't mean that we should just create this vacuum, because I think that's where things get risky, where it's like, oh, no one's even talking about them then, and things like that. And to kind of bring it back to Promising Young Woman, which Andrea mentioned, is whether you like the film or you don't, you have to admit a lot of the discussion revolves around some very critical decisions that were made with that story. People are highly critical of that decision that was made. Other people recognize, like me, recognize the use of it, but also a bit of the missteps that might have been made. And then other people really love what it did for what it's saying. So it's one of those things where it's like you can have these really divisive moments of critique discussions that can be how the most talk is propagated about a particular film. So yeah, I think if we stopped critiquing female directors, we would see less and less of them in the field, because it would just become a tool for them to be like eradicated, which is not at all what I want to see.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I definitely wasn't, before Twitter comes and cancels me, before Twitter hears this podcast, I definitely wasn't saying that like we can't critique, or even that we shouldn't critique them. It's just, I think it's an internal bias for me, and it's not something that I'm like incredibly proud of. And I think it's just one step of like recognizing your biases, because I know that, for example, if I love the movie, but if I say something bad about Birds of Prey, people are going to go and say, oh, you see, that's what you do when you try to make a superhero movie about a group of women, because you're just trying to be woke and do be feminist in the movie theaters. And that doesn't work because Birds of Prey flopped in the box office. And the same with the female reboot of Ghostbusters. You know, I think when you dislike those films, and I dislike quite a few of those films, I don't think the Ghostbusters remake is anything like great. But I don't know. I think it's just, I feel like I'm opening up space for those kinds of people to like feel validated in their sentiment of media made by women doesn't work because women bad. And I just, I don't know. I don't like it, but I definitely agree with all your points. I feel like critique is, it's like art, you know, you can't have perfect art, as Andrea said. And yeah, that's definitely something I have to work on in the future.
I mean, that's the thing about sexism, though, is those people are going to be out there picking reasons why films about women and films by women shouldn't be made, whether or not you critique them or not. If you had nothing but amazing things to say about Birds of Prey, people would call you like a social justice feminazi who is like bootlicking for women and like all of these like ridiculous things.
I mean, I am bootlicking Margot Robbie.
Please be careful.
I am bootlicking Margot Robbie. I'm sorry, but I have to be.
But that's the thing, is they are going to use your positive opinion to feed their narrative about women not being in films. They're going to use your negative critique as fuel for their argument that women shouldn't be in films. That's what people who have sexist ideologies do. So I think that it's totally natural to be like worried about that, especially like as people who identify like more liberally and more like feminists. But yeah, we can't let that change the way we approach art. And it's only something I think everyone can work on. I know we all have our faults where we aren't as critical because we're worried about feeding this problem. But I think being too careful also feeds the problem.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of like dumb arguments, I did like Promising Young Woman was surrounded by them. You know, there was people who were like, this movie bad because men bad in movie and women good. And I was like, you know, a lot of the women in the movie were shown in a bad light. A lot of the men in the movie were shown in a bad light. I honestly think almost everybody in that movie was bad in some way. But, you know, I think people will see what they want to see. And they come in before the movie having an idea of what the movie is. And, you know, there's just going to be dumb comments no matter what. There's people who posted saying they loved Promising Young Woman, but it wasn't realistic because Carey Mulligan looked too old, and why would men want to be with Carey Mulligan? It should have been Margot Robbie. You know, I saw all kinds of things like that. And it's just like, no matter what you do, they're going to come for you. So, you know, I think it's okay to criticize female directors. It's okay to criticize male directors, you know. People will come for you if you like female directors or if you don't. So basically what Dallas is saying is trolls will be trolls and they're everywhere. So just, you know, it's better to just treat everyone equally and you're going to get the feedback from you know, people on the internet.
Yeah, I really enjoy Carey Mulligan in that piece. I've seen her in a lot, mostly because she's like one of the actors in one of my favorite movies ever. But I'm really glad to see her getting some recognition, even though I'm kind of impartial to Promising Young Woman overall. I do think it was a great performance from her. And I know that recently she was in this SNL skit, which literally had me lose my mind. It was so funny. And it's very relevant to this conversation because it was about period dramas that are depicting lesbian relationships, and so it was kind of a spoof on Portrait of Lady on Fire and also Ammonite. We recently showed Ammonite through Showtime, and I really loved the commentary that it had. I encourage you, if you have not seen the skit, look it up. It is so funny. And the part that really sent me like to the next level was the commentary about the depictions of sex scenes in these stories that are women-centered, and I know particularly for Ammonite, it is a male-directed film, and I have to say it has one of the most graphic sex scenes I have ever seen in film, and the commentary in the video is that a sex scene so graphic that it will remind you that it is directed by a man. And yeah, I think that's an important thing to note sometimes. It's really difficult to celebrate women's stories because sometimes you're just so shockingly reminded of the fact that it is still being told by someone who does not identify as a woman.
Yes, I think Dallas is the one who showed me that skit, and it is absolutely hilarious. Everybody needs to watch it.
Her. You're welcome, Dallas.
The chain. Yeah, I guess I just wanted to like briefly mention that it's just like, I guess the couple of past films that have been speaking like, oh, I'm not necessarily a fan of these films. It's just from like a directorial standpoint, especially Promising Young Woman, where like in the middle of it, it kind of felt like it was switching to a rom-com. And it was just like, from a director standpoint, I was just kind of like, I'm not enjoying what you're doing with this film. Story-wise, I feel like that's a very separate conversation, especially with a lot of the discussion that's been happening on social media. But yes, I do agree that Carey Mulligan did like a phenomenal job. And now that you brought up like these period pieces, another I believe is like a male directed period piece was The Favorite with Emma Stone. And that was also another sex scene that I was just like, oh my goodness, like this is like it kind of takes you out of the film, out of the story, at least that's what it did for me in The Favorite. Definitely in Ammonite, in a living room with, like, three of your best friends, and you're all just kind of sitting there like, oh my gosh, are we watching? Is this happening?
You're kind of, like, sitting there, and then Saoirse Ronan is kind of, like, sitting there.
Stop! Exactly.
Girl's face, you know?
But I guess to like a lesser extent of that, it's just like the female portrayal in like male directed films, and like just so different from like whenever it's like a female directed something as simple as like there's been a lot of discussion of like comparing Suicide Squad with Birds of Prey, and it's just like how the camera in Suicide Squad will focus on like Margot Robbie's body, wherever in Birds of Prey the camera like center is always on her face, not on like her chest or her body. And it's just like, you, when you're making those kinds of comparisons, I feel like that's why it's so important to have female directed films and to kind of have a platform for, even if it's like a mediocre film, it needs to be like recognized by society at the moment. Because it's just like, once you make those kind of comparisons and you realize like, wow, this male directed film and the way that you're portraying females, it's just like so extreme, and it makes like the female audience feel uncomfortable. I think having that female directed film and that difference, even if it's like something as small as like where the camera is centered, it makes a really big difference for the audience who's watching it. And that's why like I think it's so important that even if like, oh, it may not be like the greatest film ever produced or directed, it still is very deserving of a platform, specifically within like just the time that this society is in right now.
And I think Suicide Squad / Birds of Prey is a notorious example of that, because on the one side you have Suicide Squad, which I don't remember like the story, but I remember there was something that they were either having to digitally digitally make Margot Robbie's shorts shorter or longer. I don't remember that they were so short that they had to like digitally make them a little bit longer, or otherwise it would be too vulgar. or they were too long and they had to make them digitally shorter. I honestly don't know which one is worse. I think they're both pretty bad. And I, Suicide Squad, the whole is a mess, man. But I, like, when you look at Cathy Ann's Birds of Prey, I remember I saw some woman on Twitter complimenting the scene. There's that fight scene. They're in the middle of a fight scene, crazy action going on, and then I don't remember if it was like Huntress or someone needs a hair tie. It was Journey Smollett's character, Songbird. Con, yes. Black Canary. Black Canary. Yeah. Yes, exactly. So Black Canary's fighting, and then like Harley Quinn just offers her a hair tie. And it's just like, it's such a small detail, but she was mentioning how much it touched her, because only a female directed film would have taken time of their fight scene to include that, because that's something that comes from the female experience. And I just thought that was so like meaningful, was something greater, you know, when you give women actual space to tell their stories. They have stories to tell. I think we clearly know that, but Hollywood has its biases, and it didn't really want to give them the space to tell them. And I think that's great that we're seeing more and more. And I definitely feel kind of weird when I watch a super intimate depiction of womanhood, and then I see a male director and a male writer and all men behind the scenes, you know. And of course, the movie, it's not solely made by the director. The writer also has a lot of input on the editor in it and everything like that. But most of the team behind the scenes is usually male dominated. So
I like recently watched a, like, can I call it a mini documentary? I don't know. It was pretty long. It was like a 20-minute analysis of like the difference between Suicide Squad and Birds of Prey, and how Margot Robbie was shot, like the different angles and like, you know, the ways that they incorporated her in scenes and like how much of the screen she took up and all kinds of things like that. And, you know, there's the iconic scene in Suicide Squad where she's like putting on her outfit and there's like, I don't even know, like 30 dudes just like sitting there or standing there watching. And I'm like, you know, what did this add to the movie? It just honestly kind of creeped me out, and I was in the audience. But like in Birds of Prey, there's a scene where she like puts on her own outfit and she looks at it and she like says something along the lines of like, she looks really good. And then she walks out. And then, you know, there's other scenes where, like she's walking, in Suicide Squad, and like the camera starts from like her heels and her walking, and it like really slowly goes up. Whereas in like Birds of Prey, you see like there is another scene that's shot very similarly, similar shoes and everything, and it shows her feet, and then it like suddenly like expands to show her entire body. And in some ways, I kind of feel like Kathy, the director, wanted to mimic some of the ways that the scenes were done in Suicide Squad and do them in a way where she felt like was more authentic. Or maybe it was just a coincidence, but I like to think the former. But yeah, there's definitely really significant differences in the way that Margot Robbie's incorporated into scenes and how they, you know, shot her and how they, you know, the angles and everything. It's definitely really different, and it's really interesting to see, and also really important.
Yes, exactly. Ugh, I love gushing about this film. And it's like, there's even like a fight scene that happens with like sprinklers going off, and like obviously she's wearing like a white t-shirt and it's just like water everywhere. And usually in like a male directed film, it's just like the focus is like on like the woman's body, even if it's a fight scene. But she did such an amazing job with that specific scene, and I always think back to it because honestly, it was one, for me personally, it was one of the best fight scenes in the film. And it's just like she had this scenario that most like male directors will use to sexualize the female, and she used it to just kind of like expand on the entire scene. And like she never like zoomed in specifically on like her chest, her like butt, or like her legs or anything kind of like that. It's like she used this scenario that most people would use to sexualize her, and she created like a like an amazing fight scene that is honestly one of the highlights of the films for me. But I feel like that's just like on a just superficially touching on, like, oh, you know, where the camera is on the woman. But I feel like if you go into the story of like the character Harley Quinn in both of those movies, it's like in Birds of Prey, it was so like she was giving a depth that obviously a lot of characters in Suicide Squad weren't able to get. But it's just like, what was her like depth in Suicide Squad? She wanted to be like a mother. She wanted to have a family with the Joker. It's like, really? That's what her story was? That's the depth that you gave her? And I feel like that's another thing that it's just like when it's a male directed film, they don't really know how to handle like a woman's dreams or a woman's goals in life or like what her aspirations are. And so that's why like the most basic default was like, oh, look at this poor like traumatized like villain. All she wants is a happy life as like a housewife with, you know, her husband.
Honestly, objectification of all types in films of women specifically is a huge problem. And we keep mentioning it, this phenomenon of framing women differently through the camera and through the lens, and then it like shows up on our screens and this contrast. And this phenomenon actually has a name. It's called facism. And it's part of this like theory of objectification and all of the damages it causes for women and things like that in media. And it's literally the difference. And I'm sure watch a film and see the differences here, where it's like typically men's faces are centered on the screen. That's the main focal point. And for a lot of women, in terms of like in circumstances where they're being objectified, you're going to see either like shots of their whole body so that there's some sort of visually attracting thing there, or you might see parts of their body that don't include their face, only includes their chest, their butts. These kind of like quote unquote money shots, thinking of the like up the skirt scene from Justice League. So there's scenes like that where it's like it's a documented thing. In like the psychology of women is where I learned this, which is a class at UT, and you learn about these things where it's not just like women are not making it up. We promise this stuff has been studied. And it's really unfortunate that it keeps happening to such a degree, but I am glad to see the progress, in these films, especially these films directed by women. And yeah, I agree completely with like what everyone's been saying about the experience of telling about women's lives and telling about women's desires and framing women's experiences. And that's kind of like the careful line you have to draw, because I still think we can all agree Harley Quinn still looks so attractive in Birds of Prey, but it's the way that that attraction is framed. Instead of it being a way to get men in the seats of theaters to come and watch this movie, it's a lot more about how Harley sees herself, which I think is a really an important story, and it's a journey that a lot of women go through in life that's not often told on screen. And I just think that nuance is so delicately done and really well, like, executed, that I really love to see it. And I think, you know, if we see more films like this and we see films that have success in doing this, eventually these problems of facism and objectification that we can't avoid talking about in a podcast about women in cinema will hopefully one day go away, along with the title female director, and it'll just be the way things are. It will be accurate to people's lives, you know?
Yeah, and I think even more than the director, because the director like is usually just framing the stuff, but the story itself, it's more about the writer and something that like the world has been seeing a lot in films has been the female character just there to either be the romantic interest or to be like a crutch for the main character. You know, they're either there to be like oh, the love of his life that he has to survive this battle because he needs to go home to his wife, or be like the sexual object, the person who's only there to, as Dallas said, to bring men into to movie theaters. And yeah, I definitely think like, even though we generalize it a bit, as we're saying we need more female directors, I think we need more female filmmakers in general, like in every single seat, as production assistants, as like, I'm not gonna say actress because we do, honestly, I feel like it's pretty equal. I don't know. But like in all seats, you know, it has to be a diverse set of people for you to make a diverse like movie. And of course, I'm not going to stand here and say, oh, men can't direct films by women. I've watched several films that were directed by men who framed women in a very interesting way, in a very interesting light. One that I can think of is Annihilation. I don't know if anyone has seen that. It's a Natalie Portman movie. There's a weird, like, anomaly on Earth, and then it's doing something to men. So these four women scientists have to go inside to investigate and to figure out what's going on. And I think it's a fantastic movie, and it doesn't sexualize. They're just there because they're the only options. Like, not like they're the last resort, but they're just there because they're good. They're qualified scientists, and they're doing like science stuff the whole movie. And it's not like it doesn't have to be sexualized in any way. So I definitely think that's a really interesting film. But sorry, David, were you going to say something? Go ahead.
Yeah, I think I was just going to say, I think that brings up like a lot of good points. One, that women are generally either, you know, side characters for some purpose of the, you know, male main character, but also that women who are main characters, I feel like there tends to be like a reason why the main character is a woman and not a man. I don't know if that makes sense, but like, you know, sometimes when you have a main character where it necessarily wouldn't really matter what the main character identifies as, a lot of the times the main character ends up being a man, and then a lot of the times when main characters are women, there's like a reason for it. You know, like the movie you just talked about. I'm sure it's a great movie, but you know, the four scientists being female is because there's like a thing affecting all the men. I mean, not specifically that movie, but there are, because I haven't seen it, but there are lots of movies where I feel like they make, you know, the main character a woman, which is good because we need women to be main characters, but I don't always want them to be main characters as a woman for a reason. I kind of just want to see female main characters just because they are the main character, and you know, maybe it didn't matter if they were female or male, or you know, maybe the director just wanted a female perspective on it but didn't necessarily have a reason other than that, which is something I like to see. And also, you mentioned, you know, having more female directors and females, women in film and things like that, and I think, you know, that's great. Having more diversity always leads to, you know, more diverse films, and that's just how it is. But I also think, you know, it's a really good idea for male directors to, you know, get input from women on how to depict women well, you know, female directors getting input from men on how to depict men well, you know, and I think collaboration is always the way to go.
I agree completely, especially because I think there have been so many instances where there have probably been people who are either scared to come into an industry or scared to go into an industry and actually show representation because they see such extreme critiques of, like, when there is bad representation. Sometimes I do think there is a preference for no representation because you at least can scapegoat and be like, well, I didn't do anything bad. I didn't technically do anything racist because I didn't have any people of color in my film. And it's things like that where it's like we have to recognize that those are like microaggressions and systematic and systemic problems in their own right. And then we can start fixing them, and we can start working with like more diverse groups of people. And then you can start like working with films where it's like eventually you get to critique other things about the film. And that's the thing where it's like, I love talking about Greta Gerwig because we have the opportunity to talk about her craft and her decision making from a professional standpoint, because she's a woman who did female-led stories, and she was lucky enough to do really well with those stories to where now we all talk about them and we all discuss our opinions. And that's what I just, that like, that is the end goal to me of how we will know we are successful, is when we don't have to talk about like, oh, well, this one actress who's so great, but she was terribly sexualized by this male director, all of these other things. Like, when we can just stop and look at it from a craft point of view, that's what I look forward to. Until then, of course, I'm going to celebrate every time there is like a female nominee for best director or a female like led film that's up for best picture and all of those things. I think I'm going to celebrate regardless, but I look forward to the day when the conversations can just be about film because there succeeding at being completely inclusive.
Okay, well, that was a great discussion, guys. We're going to start wrapping up the episode with final thoughts. If y'all have any other points you want to say or things you want our audience to know.
For me, I think I would just recommend to be really cognizant and really aware of, you know, how gender is used in films, whether that's on the screen or behind the scenes. You know, I'm not a person who's super well-versed about directors in general, but I'm trying to be better, you know, doing a little research and seeing who are the people that make these films that I like, that I dislike. So I think it just trying to be aware is a great way to start watching more films centered around women or made by women. And there's tons of really awesome, like, ways that you can start to critically analyze film. Just doing some research, like one that I really recommend is the Bechdel test, which is basically trying to see if two women who have names have a conversation in a film about something other than a man. And so it's a really great way to kind of elevate the way that you think about films while you're watching them. Because I think if we all become more aware and a little more critical of the things that we are consuming from an entertainment point of view, it'll really help us finally get to this point in entertainment and our lives where we can just call everyone directors and we can have all of our films have good representation and diversity and balance behind them.
So I guess my final piece of advice would just be to discuss films with your friends, with colleagues. It has honestly been one of the best ways for me to learn more about film, learn more about different directors, the film industry in and of itself. And using Letterboxd has also really helped. It helps me like see what my friends have been watching, and then like I get to discuss that with them. But I just feel like discussion is such an integral part of like film watching and just being a film buff, and it's something that has really helped me. So I guess like, yeah, just communicating, discussion, having these kind of like critiques on films is really, really important, and it's a lot of fun. Thank y'all for having us.
I guess I'll echo Andrea's point. Support women in film and in the industry. Also discuss good movies, shit on bad movies. Don't feel bad about your opinions. You know, discussion is always a good way to get movies out there and to learn more about other people's opinions on movies and things like that, and learn about new directors and actors and actresses. So yeah, basically just Andrea's point.
Even though it's only the second time a female director has won the directing award at the Oscars, but still second, hopefully, of many more in the future. But I think an interesting, like, not character study, but like directing study, if you want to just go deep, is, so I recently discovered that two films that I watched, like completely unrelated of one another, are not only directed by the same person, but it's also the woman, if any of y'all watch The Queen's Gambit, she plays the adoptive mother. I had no idea she was a director. I had no idea she had directed these films, and I watched them. And they're both pretty good. I definitely like one more than the other, but I'm not going to tell you which is which. One is Can You Ever Forgive Me, starring Melissa McCarthy. You know, you think Melissa McCarthy would just do a silly comedic bit, but she's actually like a very dramatic actress in this one, and she's fantastic on it. I think it's like a really, really good movie. It's a true story of a woman who was like forging official letters and using them to make money, selling them to collectors and stuff. And also A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, starring Tom Hanks, which is the biopic for Mr. Rogers.
Felipe, I hate to tell you, the way that you describe those two films lets us know exactly which one you prefer.
Oh, well. Yeah, I mean, look, Can You Ever Forgive Me is a much superior movie, but but yeah, I think it's an interesting study of, because it's a female-led film and then a male-led film by the same female director. And even though we're ending labels here, you know, it's just a film, I think this is an interesting place to start. Thanks for listening in. Let us know your thoughts and suggestions at our social media at UT Showtime on Instagram.
Make sure to check out our other podcast episodes, and if you're interested in joining Showtime, let us know. Showtime has showed a lot of great films this year, and you can be sure that we'll show many more in the future. To be up to date with showings next semester, you can follow us on social media. And if you're interested in joining our organization, follow our Instagram at UT Showtime, or find us on Horns Link and submit a member request. We hope to see you next year.